Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. Before we begin with our special show today on patient experience, I'm very excited to announce that we're broadcasting the This Just In radio show again live from the HIMSS annual conference show floor on Tuesday, March 10th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This will be our sixth year broadcasting live from the conference floor, and I could not be more excited. And many thanks to my show supporters, HIMSS, Lenovo Health, Intel, Business Radio X, and certainly Healthcare Now Radio. If you're planning on attending HIMSS, we'll be broadcasting from booth 2521, very centrally located near the main hall entrance. So please stop by if you're in Orlando and see the show. If you're not able to make the conference this year, you'll be able to stream us live again at thisjustinradio.com between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners, and it's a ton of fun and a lot of learning. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. Here are just a few of my confirmed guests: Dr. John Halampa from Mayo and his co-author in one of his new books, Paul Serrato; Dr. Rasu Shresha from Atrium; Neil Gomes from Thomas Jefferson University and Penn Health; our great friend Anish Chopra from Care Journey; Dr. Karen DeSalvo from Google, another great friend of the show; Dr. Don Rucker from the ONC National Coordinator; Steve Posnack, Deputy ONC National Coordinator, another great friend of the show; Elise Sweeney Anthony, Catherine Marchesini, and the entire ONC policy team. So just a great group of thought leaders, policymakers, and authors. And it's a great time. We have a great discussion, and we're going to be diving into some fun, hopefully new policy that's coming out. Many of us have been waiting many, many months for the Cures Act and some of the interoperability rules. And so hopefully we're about to hear a lot about them on the show and hearing them live on March 10th. So hopefully you can join us in some capacity. Without much further ado, for this episode, my 194th episode, we're very fortunate to have back Dr. Monica Bulbjerg, a true patient experience pioneer and founder, CEO of Cure for You. Welcome back to the show, Monica.
Thank you, Justin. Really appreciate having you back.
You got it. You're always, I consider you a great supporter, but even more so, you've been engaging the show and the think tank for many years, and you just have some of the most practical, hands-on experience, but then you share these most amazing best practices on where the industry can start. You've been doing this for over 20 years now, right?
Yeah. Since 2001, starting in Europe, but so for a long, long time.
Yeah, and it's great. You bring a breath of fresh air, a lot of great energy and ideas, and so thank you for participating in the think tank, and driving, sharing your best practices there, and then certainly joining our radio show. You're always a phenomenal guest, and I appreciate it. So. And I know you're attending HIMSS next month because you're one of my guests. I think you're at 3:50 p.m. on March 10th, p.m. Eastern. So hopefully everybody can join us and listen to some of your ideas. And you begin to share some of those certainly today, but certainly look forward to having you on air. But before we dive into the patient experience and a lot of your best practices, I love HIMSS. This is going to be, I think, my 20th HIMSS or my 19th HIMSS. But why do you go to HIMSS? What do you like to get out of that experience?
Oh, I love HIMSS as well. I think it's a great opportunity to go out and network and be inspired and see what's going on. I mean, we're all so busy in our daily life with our own companies, but going out and see a little bit of what's going on out there and build partnerships, get new relationships. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, it's where the industry comes to collaborate, share ideas, learn. A lot of us, we're so busy executing on a daily basis that we don't lift our heads enough to collaborate and learn from others or just learn how there's a better way, a faster way to do things. And that's where the whole reason and the precipice for founding the Health Innovation Think Tank is like, hey, let's lift our heads a couple times a year, get together, collaborate very quickly, high impact, and then go back and implement what we're learning and learning faster and better ways and to do things. And again, that's why I love having you on air and participate, because you share these great best practices that we can go off and implement. So,
no, totally agree.
So before we dive in again, tell me where you're going to be at HIMSS. I know that you have a lot going on. I've seen part of your schedule just because we're also friends. But tell my audience what you're going to be doing at HIMSS. You'll be in a couple of different areas, but share some of that.
Yeah, we have a booth at the Consumerism Patient Engagement Pavilion, booth 480-22. But we also have a booth together with Athena Health. Athena Health is a big partner of ours, so we'll be with them, working together with them throughout the exhibition as well.
Fantastic. I think it's 12:30 or something like that, Athena's booth. But yeah, they have a large 70x70 booth. They're always one of the anchors. And they're just, in general, they're one of the best innovators we have in healthcare. And we'll actually have one of their people on the radio show as well. Our good friend Needy. She's amazing.
Yeah, agree. I mean, I think what is great about working with Athena is that they're so open to collaboration, which is why they're driving a lot of the innovation in the industry right now, I think.
It's very true. And again, that's why there's so many of us working with the White House and the administration to get these rules out. We want more API-based integration. We need interoperability. Mm-hmm. We need data sharing. And that's why Athena's thriving. You look at the companies that are thriving in healthcare right now, it's because they have these open APIs. It's because they share data. They work with innovators like Cure4U and many others. And it's just something that we need as an industry. So finally, these public rules are about to be launched and about to be announced, hopefully supporting this. So I agree with you.
It would be great. I mean, that's we need that. We really do in this industry. I mean, nobody can do it all by themselves. It's not happening.
Correct. And that's one. And patients are demanding. And that's why I'm so excited about this show today. And I know you and I talked offline about how you would love to have more interoperability with more EHRs. But they just don't, and you're working on that. I know you are, but it would be great if they all had these great sandboxes that were open like Athena's. I mean, this is not an Athena love show, but I mean, gosh, we want these companies, all these EHRs to have, these open APIs. And so innovators like you can interoperate and give patients what they're requesting. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think it's coming, but I mean, just a lot of the EMRs are just, their technologies are still a little bit behind. But I know a lot of them are working on it. So I think over the next year or so, we'll see a lot of that happening. And it's important for the patient, but it's definitely very important for the providers. Because this is where everything's going right now, right? It's around, we've talked about patient-centric care for a long time, but it's actually happening now. And in order to do that, they need tools that are going beyond the EMR, that are working with the patients at home. And that's why we need those APIs.
Yeah. No. Excellent. And certainly the providers need data as well. And that's something that you are able to provide today. And that's exciting. So let's talk about patient experience, and this is certainly growing. We started off with patient engagement, but now engagement is one thing, but now we're really evolving quickly into patient experience. And so tell us why this is all of a sudden becoming such a big boon in the industry. Well, you're growing so quickly, but this industry strategy is growing also very quickly.
Yeah, I think one of the big drivers here is that the patients now are the biggest payer. Mm-hmm. And so providers are actually realizing that they have to treat their customers well. Yeah. And if they do give a better patient experience, the patients are coming back and they're willing to pay for the service that the providers are providing them. But it's also that more and more organizations are really going under risk-based contracts, especially the bigger ones. Value-based care is really getting traction.
Yes.
And patient engagement is a key part of that, but patient engagement starts with a good patient experience. I think even just a year ago, I mean, at least a couple of years ago, patient engagement was sending a text message to a patient. I mean, that's not engagement, right? That's something that is just going from a provider to a patient, but it's not really giving any value to the patient. So people are thinking now, how can we add value to the patient? How do I want it to be if I go visit a doctor? And they're realizing that well, would they want TSA pre, right? They want to be able to check in from home and just say, oh, I'm ready, I go in. Nobody wants to do this when they come into an office anymore. So that's really happening now. Mm-hmm. But they're also realizing that they need more instant communication with the providers. I mean, the patient wants that. And there needs to be a connection that goes beyond that they go into a room and say, how are you today? And they measure a couple of vitals and send the patient back.
Right.
So that's really what's changing now, that everybody's kind of realizing, hey, it's not working anymore. We need to change.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I think almost 40% of contracts out there now have some value-based component. And even it's even evolving now, even with social determinants of health. And so we're seeing how, you know, all the future of healthcare is based around patient experience and patient management and patient engagement, because you've got to have, they're going to be so important. I mean, they are important, but they're going to be, even in the future, they'll be more important to their care and to how the providers are going to be paid. So now the providers are paying very close attention to this. They're looking for these innovations like what you guys have, and they're looking for best practices on how to deploy. So let's dive into some real practical next steps. So where would you, when you do your public speaking tours and all that, and certainly I've seen this in the think tank, where do you suggest organizations start to optimize the patient care journey with digital tools?
I always recommend that you start with the front. I mean, mm-hmm. Start with the digital check-in, start with removing all that paper and bad experience that you get when you go into a doctor's office. Give them an app so they can check in at home. And this is not just for the patient experience, but it's also allowing the organizations to shift around their resources, because there's a ton of staff hours saved.
Yes.
Once the patients check in from home, which means that those resources now can be reallocated into the more clinical care. So you can't start at the end. You have to start at the beginning. And so if you don't already have done that, that's where you need to begin.
Yep. I love it. And I know, remember a couple of times you presented, I've seen the presentation where you talk about how TSA pre-check, and you already mentioned that, but really that's the experience that we're used to. We don't go to it. We don't call Delta. We don't sit on a website even. We go to our app, we pull it up, we check, we book our flights, we check in, we schedule our luggage. We do everything via our app. Same thing as when I travel, Hertz, exact same way. I don't talk to Hertz. I do everything via the app. So
exactly. And so typically I often show a couple of photos are from how the banks were looking before and how it is now, and how it was to go to the airport 10 years ago and how it is now. And then I show a photo of how a waiting room is typically looking today. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, we got to change that, right? I mean, they're kind of realizing that we are the only industry that hasn't really looked at that, at the consumerism part of it. But that's changing very quickly now. And then you can now start looking at, well, when I send my patients home, they actually get support using digital tools and what they need to do at home. You can use small, nice app notification about, hey, remember it's time to do this, or now you need to measure your blood pressure. Don't forget to do this. But also get data back. So remote patient monitoring is really coming up now. I mean, the codes have been there for a couple of years, but it's picking up now. People are really realizing how to use it. And it's a pretty powerful tool that you can start now getting some new data, clinical data that we've never had before. What's going on with the patients at home? Right. And that now allows a physician to say, oh, that's why it's not working. And this is why we need to change for this patient, and be able to monitor it very quickly afterwards. Is it working or not? So that's really exciting in my opinion.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of the holy grail. I mean, you have episodic care in the office or in the hospital or in the health system, but then they go home and the doctors have no idea, the care providers have no idea what's happening. You mentioned blood pressure or any type of care plans. Are they following our care plans? We have no feedback whatsoever until there's another emergency, or they show back up in the waiting room. And that's just not a way to, that's not care. That's, you know, that's just kind of managing chaos. And it's kind of exciting.
Exactly. And most organizations, they say, well, they can just call us. I mean, but have you ever tried to call a doctor?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's worse than ever now.
You can leave a message with a nurse, and I left a message with the nurse for my primary care physicians 2 weeks ago. They never called me back.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't something urgent, but still, right? Sure. Nobody called me back. So, and that just doesn't work, right? Yeah. So, but it's also because the industry typically has been relying on phones, right? And care coordinators, and it's just too expensive as well. and unmanageable for the organization. So everybody's now realizing, well, we got to use digital tools. I mean, and the technology is there today.
You're right. So for those joining us a little late, my guest today is patient experience expert, Dr. Monica Bobjerg from Cure4U. So talk about some of the best practices that you share in the think tank around what tools to implement in the organization. So kind of walk through some of those steps.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always recommend to have as few tools as possible for your patients. Yes. So it's just not, if you want to get high patient engagement numbers and you have to, and you can, I mean, we've shown you we can get up to 87% of the patients using our tools at home. You have to look for more or less an all-in-one solution for your patients. One solution that can follow the patients throughout their care journey. So they don't have to now download another app or log into another system, and because it will end up being that they pick up the phone and we're back to square one. So that's important. But and then integration with the EMR is key, right? I mean, we cannot have standalone solution.
Yes.
It has to be more or less seamless for the staff and the providers and just plug into their workflow. And that's doable as well today. I mean, the solution's out there. Find something that'll work on all platforms. I mean, we still see some EMR systems that have a portal that only works on Firefox, right? I mean, come on, that's not,
right.
That you cannot do that. You have to think that your patients now are consumers. And would you use a solution where you had to download a new browser and install it on your computer in order to get started? I mean, no, we're just not using it then.
Right, exactly.
So it has to be something that is just so instant and easy for the patients to use, because that first experience with a new application is key, right? How easy is it to get it and install it and get started? I always recommend ask for user stats before you buy a new patient-facing technology, right? It's not okay to buy something that is only used by 10% of the patients.
Right.
So the vendor should be able to kind of give you really high stats. I mean, I would say at least 75% patient engagement, not day one, but if you look at from implementation time to maybe 12, 18 months out, you should be able to get up to at least 75% patient engagement numbers.
Yeah, no, those, and I totally agree. And it's pitiful that many companies settle. They talk about their usage stats and engagement stats, and they're around 17 to 20% of these portals in these portals. And it's not acceptable, and we should not accept that as patients or providers for that matter. So,
correct.
It's excellent. So, do you still hear? I know as we're an aging population, and I'm getting close to that age as well. But we're an aging population. But I would say, do you still hear that patients are too old out there for technology, or they're not using it, or they won't use it, or what excuses do you hear? You know,
not very often anymore. We still hear it. Then I ask them, well, how old is your mom? Well, my mom is 75. Does she have a smartphone? Yeah,
of course she does.
Right. I'm like, so right. I mean, I actually privately take small photos when I travel around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Just to be able to show people, like, say, hey, I sat next to these elder couple. They were 85. They were having dinner. They looked like my teenage kids, right?
Exactly.
They were on their smartphones all the time. It's not true anymore. It was true like 15 years ago, but
right.
Today,
excellent.
It's not.
Good. I'm glad we're breaking down those barriers. So what are some of the tips for implementation? I mean, I know some of them just because of what you shared in the think tank, and I love them, but go ahead and share them with my audience, your best practices for implementation of these tools.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, you got to be patient. Think a little bit about the how long it took airlines to shift around from the long lines and to the TSA pre. It took maybe, I would guess, around 10 years. So we should not expect this to just come overnight in our industry. It's something that takes time to implement. It's something that needs to be adopted into an organization that is very used to using phones. I've had customers like that just lost patient after 6 months. I'm like, listen, you cannot just shift everything around. It's not that you just implement an app and then it's just done, right? You don't have to do anything. This is a cultural shift in an organization that needs to be implemented gradually. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is that there are a couple of things that are kind of like key here that you need to be aware of, is that the initial adoption of a new tool is coming from the front desk staff and the schedulers. So focus on them, on training and coaching and supporting them initially, and then really shift quickly over to making sure that the providers are aware and are pushing this out as well. Because we've seen that the front desk staff is the initial adoption, but the providers are key for the ongoing engagement. So that's important to be, not forget the providers, and find something, find the value for the providers as well, right? Show them some of those clinical data points that is collected from the patients at home in their mobile phones, and they care about their patients. Right. But they don't know. So think about that data that is collected is not only going to a care coordinator, but the points that are important for a doctor, get them to them, and then they'll drive that ongoing engagement.
I love it. And a lot of your best practices actually are very similar to my previous world in the EHR world. I mean, just being patient, get key adoption by key members early on, but don't forget about providers. The providers are the holy grail. I mean, you've got to have doctors and care providers using your solution successfully for long-term success. And one thing that you, I know that you brought up in the last think tank, and I loved it, because a lot of people just sell software, but you said you guys have turned your model and evolved your model. So you certainly do sell software in your SaaS model, but you also offer care coordination experts and then also patient experience experts to support the care journey of the practice. That's exciting. I haven't heard that out there. So just give me like 30 seconds on that as we, you know, begin to close up the show, or a minute on that.
Yeah, because I mean, we realize that this is still so new. So a lot of our customers, they need some initial support to kind of like really drive high adoption. And so that's something we started giving out now. And then if people have an organization where they want us to be, continue to give that service, that's something that we can do today.
No, that's exciting, because a lot of these practices, you just said, just they don't have the resources, but they know they have to implement the strategies. And so if you can augment that and help them for a period of time, and then, or even in a longer period of time, that really bridges the gap. And that's something that we would do even in my previous worlds and my previous companies where I've helped, is just to help them, help those customers manage that gap. And that gap could be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, whatever it is, but it just takes the burden off their team 100%, and it kind of shares it, and you get a much better result when you kind of hold their hand, you navigate them through the future of healthcare, and it's exactly what you guys are doing. And so when you brought that up at the think tank, I just loved it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So I just, in closing, I always love to ask these questions as we transition the show onto the personal level, because I like my guests, my audience to get to know my guests personally as well. Where do you invest your time, talent, and treasure, and why?
I mean, I really love spending a lot of time with our customers. They inspire me. Mm-hmm. A lot of we are very lucky to have really innovative customers, and they have a lot of great ideas, and I really love talking to them and finding out how we can drive this forward. Then I spend quite a lot of time looking at other industries as well, seeing what's out there, what's been done, and getting inspired by them that has already done it like 10 years ago.
That's a best practice in itself. That's awesome. I want to kind of reiterate that for my audience. That right there, because healthcare, we tend to only know the healthcare way, and I promise you the healthcare way is not working. That we've got to start to look at other ways outside of healthcare. How has somebody else revolutionized their industry? How has banking done it? How has airline done it? How's the car industry done it? And then what are those best practices that we can learn to bring into healthcare so we can do it more quickly, more efficiently, more effectively than we're currently doing it today? So I love that, Monica. Excellent. That's great.
Thank you.
So we're at close, but I truly appreciate, Monica, you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know that you have a lot going on. You're prepping for HIMSS. You're building a company. You're achieving great things. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
You got it. My pleasure. And I hope to see you. I will see you for sure in a few weeks at HIMSS. And thank you for everyone. And we briefly mentioned the HIMSS, sorry, the Health Innovation Think Tank. So please do take a moment to research our website at healthinnovationthinktank.com and look at the best practices that we share out there and look at how what the companies are saying and doing. And if you have any best practices or thoughts that you think we should know about, please share them. We're always interested in case studies and white papers that share best practices. So check out the website, healthinnovationthinktank.com. And if you're inspired by anything, let us know. But if you have anything that you think that we should know about, that we should share and learn, please send our way. There's contact information out there. So thank you all for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode and want to hear more, all of my shows are always posted at Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Also, you can check out the website that we've updated at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week and hope to see you at the HIMSS Annual Conference soon. Take care.